We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Brent Rooker is a Memphian. ECS product coming off his first full season in the majors. A friend of the show. Let's make him the Giant Interview.
Now, it's the Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Brent, what's up, man?
What's up, guys?
So how was it, man? Tell us what it was like. I mean, it was like your first, you know, first full dose of the majors. Was it everything you dreamed of and more?
Yeah, man, it's fun. Obviously, it's a really unique experience. And kind of getting to fulfill, you know, what I've always wanted to do my whole life is a really cool opportunity. And that it just comes with so many learning curves, you know, so many ups and downs. And it's all part of it. I learned a lot. I had a lot of fun. You know, I'm looking forward to kind of taking what I learned this year and the next year and building on it. And, you know, hopefully just continuing to get better and improve and just, and, you know, continue to enjoy the experience for sure.
So what's the journey, right? Like, I mean, cause we know in baseball, it can be a long road, even if you get drafted high, right? It can take some time. So like, what was your journey to ultimately, you know, being called up there to Minnesota?
Yeah, so drafted 2017, right? You go for your first half season of pro ball that year. I was in single A in Fort Myers, Florida for that last, you know, July, August, and then a little end of the first week of September for my first season. Spent the entire 2018 season in double A in Chattanooga, so right down the road. Was pretty convenient, pretty local. Was pretty fun to be able to have family come in pretty consistently and hang out with them and have them see me play. 2019 was in AAA in Rochester, New York. Had a pretty good year. Missed the second half of that season with an injury and then went into 2020. Obviously, the COVID year kind of changed everything. The format of the whole season was different. So I started that year at the alternate site, you know, as it was known. Just kind of a pool of players who were ready to be called up when injury or performance or whatever, you know, whatever allowed it. So made my debut at the end of 2020. Got hurt again, broke my arm at the end of that season. So that's how my 2020 year ended. And then this year was in the big leagues in April, then went back to AAA for a little bit, and then was up in the big leagues for the last big chunk of the season. So that was kind of my journey. It's unique to every guy. Like you said, baseball is so different than basketball or football or any other major sport. Just kind of the road from the amateur level to the highest level of professional ball. It can be such a long journey, but it's so rewarding and very worth it.
Brent, when you're on the grind like this and working, is there time to get away? Like the playoffs still going on, but your season's over. Do you take a break and get away from it, or can you not afford to? You got to get right back in the cage and start getting ready for the climb back up. What do you do around this time?
Yeah, so I'll get back in the gym pretty quick. Okay. As far as just training-wise and weight room work stuff, mobility, flexibility, things like that, I won't take much of a break from that, maybe. You know, 4 or 5 days, maybe a week, but I'll get back in the gym pretty quick. As far as baseball-specific stuff goes, yeah, you take a little bit of downtime at the end of the year. Normally my schedule is I'll start hitting and doing baseball-specific things around Thanksgiving is kind of when I like to get back into it. Like, every guy's different, obviously, based on what they want to do and how their body feels and how long into the season they play. But that's kind of my schedule normally is get back in the gym pretty quick and then take, you know, a month and a half, 2 months or so to give the body a break and then get back into swinging the bat and doing baseball specific activities around Thanksgiving or the first little bit of December, which gives you, you know, still 2.5 months to prep yourself before spring training starts.
So, you know, I mean, obviously you mentioned the difference in the dynamics, you know, from football and basketball. Like, how did you leave things? Like, how are things left with the Twins and sort of where you are with them? Like, is your expectation that you're going to be there on opening day? I mean, like, sort of how do you approach that? Where is that for you right now?
Yeah, so, you know, I definitely see it. I don't have a concrete spot on the opening day roster next year. It's going to be something I have to earn during spring training with my performance. And for me, that starts now with how I prep for spring training, you know, the things I worked on this offseason. As you know, data-driven and analytical as baseball is, you can get pretty specific at the end of the year into kind of breaking down what you do well and what you don't do as well. And you have a really good plan going into the offseason, things you want to attack and things you want to work on to improve before next season, to give yourself the best chance, obviously, to make that team and then to have success once you're there. So that's kind of where I'm at is, you know, I had some success this year that kind of showed me and showed myself that I'm very confident in my ability to produce at the major league level. I think I can do it at a pretty high level up there. And I think I can do it consistently, but I also didn't have, you know, enough success to think that I can do that without making some changes this offseason, without you know, working on some pretty specific things that I know I need to attack to improve about my game and about myself. So I'm excited for next year. I'm really excited about this offseason, the opportunity I have to dive into those things and to get better and to come back next year, I think, you know, an improved player, and hopefully, you know, like you're talking about, you know, kind of earn that spot on the opening day roster during spring training.
We are, of course, talking to Brent Rooker, Memphian left fielder in the Minnesota Twins organization. We were sort of talking the last couple of weeks. It was interesting. You know, you kind of took a sabbatical. Like, you went away from Twitter for, like, basically the whole season. Like, you just stepped away. Why did you do that? Like, what you know, because I know some guys don't use it at all. Like, you're pretty active. You know, you're around.
Yeah.
Why did you step away from social media during the season?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of noise going on, you know, for athletes in season, specifically when you're not performing as well as you'd like to. There's just a lot of stuff that goes on in there that, you know, sometimes it's just kind of best to step away and kind of get away from any outside, you know, I'm not to use the word haters, but any outside analysis that you don't want, kind of step back and look at what you're doing to be able to kind of evaluate yourself more, you know, from an internal level. So I just, you know, kind of decided to step away for the season. And, you know, I miss parts of Twitter, obviously. I love the interactions. I love being able to keep up with people. I love a lot of the humor and a lot of the news that I get. But, you know, it can also be good to take a step back for a little bit. I don't know if it's something I'll do again next year or not, you know, just kind of see how it goes. But, yeah, I talked to some guys, you know, some teammates and some guys who've been around the league, just kind of told me, you know, sometimes it's best just get away from it a little bit and just kind of, you know, take a little time for yourself and evaluate yourself internally. That's what I did, and I think it was beneficial for me.
Is there – how much more pressure is there, Brent? You know, when you're playing it at ECS and all the way coming up, right, and it's coming to you and you're, you know, you're leading your team or you're the conference player of the year, right, everything's coming easy. When you know, that's one thing, and I'm sure it's easy to enjoy everything that comes with that. Not to say that you're not working just as hard there too, because you have to be to get those results. But when it's this much harder, right, than it was even then – I got to imagine, like, you got to keep telling yourself too that, hey, you know, this is fun, but it's also, I got to imagine, a great pressure because this is your profession now.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, when it comes down to it, this is what I'm doing to, this is my job. This is how I make money. This is how I support my family. So there is that added pressure of that. But, you know, what helps me with that, you know, you just got to step back and you got to look at it from the perspective of, like, if, you know, if I went back and told my 12-year-old self, hey, man, like, we made it to the big leagues, we achieved our dream, we did it, what we always wanted to do, like, you know, we got there. And just kind of think of his reaction and what that would be as, yeah, as my 12-year-old self. That's what kind of – what makes it – I mean, that obviously makes it special, but it puts it into perspective as well that, you know, sometimes you just got to take a minute and enjoy your surroundings. You know, you'd be standing in the outfield sometimes at Fenway Park or Wrigley Field or whatever. You just got to kind of look in the stands and take a minute and kind of recognize where you are and that all the hard work you put in. You know, when you were a kid, even up through high school and college, it paid off and you were able to accomplish that dream that, you know, the younger version of yourself wanted so badly. So
yep.
There obviously is that added pressure, and that's all part of it. That's, you know, part of the benefits as well as a little bit of the downfalls of it. But it's all worth it in the end when you kind of look at it from that perspective.
You look around sort of the majors right now. Obviously, you're with the Twins, Austin Riley, who, you know, we claim here Mid-South, you know, you guys. It sort of feels like maybe there's a little bit of a, you know, drop off, not as many. What's the sort of state of baseball like in the Memphis area? You know, like, we know this is a city that produces so much talent in football and basketball. Like, are there a ton of guys who play baseball, or is it just speak to how hard it is to sort of make it you know, to the big leagues. Like, what's your perspective on the state of baseball, you know, in the grassroots piece here in Memphis?
Yeah, I think it's in a great spot. I mean, you look at guys, when you kind of measure an area of success, I think you start at how many guys go play college ball and go play at a Division I level, and it's a lot of guys, right? And then, obviously, you know, baseball, you get, when you get into the draft and you get into the professional world, there's guys coming from all different levels just because it's so much less athletically based and so much more skill based. You can kind of draw these guys who do one and two things really, really well from, you know, the JUCO level and D1 and even D2 and D3. And then you mix in, you know, you've got, it's a much more international sport. You've got guys coming in from the Dominican and Venezuela and Puerto Rico and all these places. It's just that much harder to make it to the highest level in baseball than a lot of other sports, just because the pool of players is significantly larger, you know, who have the physical ability to get there. So I think, I mean, I know the talent when I was in high school was crazy. There was tons of guys going to play at Tennessee and at Memphis and at Ole Miss and at Mississippi State from the area. And I think it's kept up pretty well. There's several good travel programs in the area that are doing a really good job producing players as well. So, I know Memphis is normally known as, I would say it's probably known as a basketball city. I think you guys agree, but I think there's a ton of baseball players and a ton of baseball talent as well.
NLCS, right now Braves up 2-1. How real is it? The mental advantage that you figure the Dodgers have because they've been behind, 2-0 to the Braves last year, 3-1 at one point, they come back to win it. Is that something you think, Brent, is in the back of the Braves' minds? Are you thinking about last year at all? Do the Dodgers have an edge because they've been here and done this?
Yeah, I think there's probably a little bit of an edge to it. I mean, the Dodgers, if the Dodgers get confident, man, that roster's so talented and they got so many superstar players that when they get hot, it's going to be scary. But at the same time, the Braves have done a really good job kind of beating some of the Dodgers' horses on the mound and then sticking to a game plan that's really worked well for them. So it's going to be a really good series, obviously, the two super good teams with a ton of great players. But, if the Dodgers get confident, they got a really scary roster. But at the same time, the Braves have played well all year. And it's really impressive when you look at the Braves doing what they're doing without Acuna. I mean, who's really a top five player in the league. They're still able to have all the success. Kind of speaks to their depth and their player development, things like that. So it's been fun to watch.
Like, the majors have done, like, you know, we talked about this a little bit. Like, I have not been a baseball guy, but, like, I really got into it this year. I think they've done some really cool things, especially with sort of the second base rule there in the regular season that they adopted. Like, I was all about that in extras. But one of the things that, like, I'm having a hard time getting over is in the American League, like, why do we have to suffer, right, through pitchers batting? You know, like, why do we...
National.
Why do we have to... you don't have to worry about this, but why do we have to suffer through this? Can we not... Do you like that? Do you enjoy seeing pitchers bat?
No, it's awful. It's a waste of time. I
agree. It's like, it's just like a guaranteed out. It's like, you know, let's just move on.
It's terrible. I think that's the opinion of most people. But luckily, you know, we got the new CBA coming up this offseason. That should be one of the things that's pretty easily addressed. I think it's the one area that you know, the players and owners agree on. It's best for the game to get rid of pitchers hitting and do the universal DH. So hopefully that comes about. Especially hitters, I mean, it's a lose-lose for us, right? Because, one, we got to sit there and watch pitchers hit, which is never fun. And then, two, if the pitcher gets up there and has success and hits a double, they become insufferable for the next week talking about how they just got up there and hit a double. So it's going to be best. It's in the game's best interest to move away from that and to go to universal DH, which I think we're pretty confident we'll get done.
Who's considered in the big leagues, like, the best batting pitcher? Is there a guy?
Yeah,
Wainwright's
pretty good.
Shohei does not count.
Wainwright can swing it a little bit. I think it's been Bumgarner for the past decade or so.
Yeah,
he's
right.
Kind of been the guy, the pitcher who's got a lot of juice. I mean, he's obviously a big, strong guy. So he's got a lot of power, and he's kind of been the guy, the pitcher who is the biggest offensive threat for the last, I'd say, 10 years or so.
It feels like, you know, again, I'm sort of just using myself as an example as a guy who just, you know, very casually, like, I couldn't have told you who won the World Series in 2016. Like, the Cubs.
Yes, you could.
27, 16, other than that, 27. Okay. Like, I just pick a year, I would not be able to tell you probably who won the World Series. But now, like, I'm locked in. How much of that do you just think anecdotally is because the quality of star, right? You've got Fernando Tatis, you've got Shohei Ohtani, you know, you've got big time hitters, big time batters, and there's some star. Like, does it sort of feel like the star power in the majors, as somebody who obviously is in the majors, has really come a long way in the last year or two?
Yeah, it's been cool to watch, man. The talent in the league right now is so deep, and the top-end talent is so young when you look at the guys like Tatis and like Juan Soto and like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Like, those are three of probably the top five or six best players in the league, and they're all 23 or younger. So it's crazy what the where the future is right now with where the talent is and how high the talent level is. It's deeper than it's ever been. The top-end talent's better than it's ever been. And, you know, when you get these young guys who are the kind of the face of the league, you get a little more flair in there, maybe a little more flash, which is appealing to the fans and makes the game a little bit more fun. So the state of the game right now is in a great spot. It's in great hands with the guys who are kind of at the forefront of being the best players in the league, and I think it's only going to get better moving forward.
Astros or Red Sox, if you're picking it today, Brent, who's going to the World Series out of the AL?
It's 2-2. Is it 2-2 now, that series, right?
Yep, 2-2.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. They're two good teams. The Astros bullpen is – from what I saw during the season, I thought the Astros had the best bullpen that I had to go up against. But that Red Sox offense gets hot with Kike and Schwarber as well. So I'll refrain from making a pick, but I'm very excited to watch the last three games. It's two really good teams who are playing well right now.
I hate to end it on a cop-out, though, Brent.
That's a tough spot.
Yeah, you're playing. He's an active player,
he's
John.
He's an active guy.
Nobody's going to come for you. That's fine.
John.
That's fine.
This is a national show.
That's fine. You're right. We don't want to get you in trouble, man. We don't want to get you in trouble already. Brent, man, we appreciate the time as always. Great catching
Thank
up.
Thank you for
brother.
This, brother.
Thank
it's fun.
You.
Yeah, guys. Thanks for having me. Enjoyed it.
Yes,
pleasure.
Sir. He is Brent Rooker, left fielder there for the Minnesota Twins.
Nice get, John.
Oh, yeah. You know, I got my baseball contacts, man.
How about you?
Everybody knows.
Come a long way.
Yep.
Like the Zach Cozart interview.
It was probably
reversed where you maybe asked him one question.
Exactly.
You're probably like, what's the designated hitter, Zach?
Yeah.
But now you lead the baseball interviews.
Yep.
Yeah. And the only slip up there was AL there.
SNL, yeah.
But you knew what you were talking about.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And you can forgive that. You know, just a little, Freudian slip. You know, you guys get it.
Yeah, that's fine.
The growth has been unbelievable.
No, the gambling thing has, like, you talk about jumping in the pool. This man literally jumped all the way in, head first.
If we're talking about change since this show started, really, there's no comparison. It's you. Whether we're talking about the thing with Calkins and the whole thing with the money and being able to let that go, right? Or now this newfound love for baseball, even actually having baseball contacts. Like, you're the one. Now, father, you know, you're the one that's changed the most, John.
Well, I hope that's in a good way.
No longer 30 under 30.
No, I'm 30 now.
That's right. And
it was 20, sorry.
And you're going to have to pick it up.
20 under 30.
20 under 30.
Yeah.
You're going to have to pick it up to make the list under 40, okay?
I am, and I'm trying to
You understand that, okay.
Cultivate, my baseball, okay.
20 for under 30 is behind you now.
I agree. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
You got some things to do.
I can be 40 under 40, bro.
Some more baseball segments to do to get 30 under 40.
I enjoy talking baseball. Like, that may make me an insane person.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.